Colossians chapter 3, from verses 18 downwards to chapter 4, verses 1. Verses 18 of chapter 3. Wives, submit your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservant, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it utterly as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Chapter 4, verses 1. Masters, give your bond servant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we glorify and magnify your name. As we partake of your word today, Lord, may you open our hearts, our inner ears and spiritual eyes, that we'll be able to receive it with gladness and joy and be able to walk according to the gospel of Christ Jesus. This word was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and let him teach us this word and help us to walk just as the word says. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. It is all about you, Jesus. Thank you. Be glorified, be magnified. In your name I do pray. Amen. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And we being in Christ Jesus, we are new. The old has passed away, behold, the new has what? Has come. And the same chapter we have just read, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We have been made new, and this newness of life has come because of the faith we have in Christ Jesus. And this faith has changed us. Faith in Christ not only changes individuals, it also changes homes and all other aspects of life, and it gives each individual a role to play as we live in Christ. You've had wives, husbands, parents, children, bond servants, and masters. I believe here we have husbands, I am one of them. We have wives, we have children, we have masters and employees, not so? So we are blessed as a church. So each of us has got a role to play as a Christian. Christian living has a lot to do with fulfilling our role in society and relating well to those over us or below us in authority. Wives are to learn submission. Husbands are to reach a new level of loving and care. Children are to learn to be obedient. Parents are to learn not to misuse their authority. Employees are to learn to work well and in sincere heart. And employers are to learn to be just. Amen? As we walk with Christ Jesus, we will discover that Christian commitment affects every aspect of life, especially family, because family is the nuclear of the ministry of God. So Paul gives concrete advice about Christian living, relationship, and responsibilities. Order is heaven's first law. Our God is God of what? Of order. In every sphere of life, God is God of order. I wonder, nowadays we see church disorderly. Find a church and there's no what? Order in church. Glory and honor be to God. By his grace at Calvary, we are somewhat what? Orderly. Paul writes and says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. You see the order. Order is the first law of heaven. He says, verse 18 of Colossians chapter 3, wives, submit to your own husband as fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit. To Paul, submission should be voluntarily, based on someone's recognition of God's order. If you know God, and you love God, and you understand the word of God, therefore you have to respect the word of God and submit to the will of God. So, we came to Jesus. It was a free will for me and you to come to Jesus. No one of us was pushed to receive Jesus Christ. Therefore, if we received him by his mercies, by his goodness, and a free will, if you are a wife here, he says, submit to your own husband. Willingly obey to God-given order. Peter says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. 1 Peter 3:6. We have to know that the emphasis here is not the idea of obedience as an authoritative, overbearing, bully, pushy, but it's submission. Submission. Submit what God has ordained. Obedience here is reserved for the children and servants. He says, wives, submit. He's not giving an order or firing out orders. You have to obey, not a must. It's an idea that wives should have a spirit of submissiveness. If you really fall in love with this person, you trust this person, now it's your obligation to submit to your husband. He says, submit your own husband. Now somebody may be thinking, why does he say your own? Does he think women are to go around submitting to all men generally? No. I know there are some men here, some men in church, in ministry, who have been called for women ministry, which is very wrong. They move around watching over who is dressing well, who is not dressing well, and they go, oh, sister, you are not what? That's not your what? Your ministry man. It's a women's what? Ministry. That's somebody's wife who pray for his husband to what? To sit and what? Talk about it. Okay? Paul says, the emphasis here is, you know, submit your own husband. The emphasis here is personal. Wife, if you're here and you're a wife, you have a husband. This, your relationship with him is personal. It's intimate, inward, vital relationship. You have something. There's something about this person. You don't submit because out of pressure, out of bully. No, but because something, passion, intimate, inward, vital. You love this person. He's saying, submit your own husband. The man you own, the man you fell in love with, he is yours, your own possession. You are not just submitting to somebody indifferent or somebody detached away from you, but somebody you spent all the time with. You all agree that most of us work, but husbands and wives spend most of the time together. The day has 24 hours. 12 hours, light. 12 hours, what? Night. Not so. So the night you are with that person. So you know this person. He knows you. You love him. There's something special about him. He's your own husband. You possess him. He possesses you. There is something very intimate, very personal about him. Love what? Submit to him. I want also to say, submission doesn't mean being inferior. No. Doesn't mean that wives are inferior to their husbands. Not at all. Jesus wasn't inferior to God. No. But being obedient, Christ Jesus, he had to submit today, will of the Father. When you read Philippians chapter 2, you know what he did. Him being God, he did not count himself worthy to be what? To be God. He left all authority, the glory, the honor, and he came into this world to serve me and you. The Bible says that having laid down his life for me and you, he was given a name above all names, that every knee, every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Amen? I also want to remind you that women have great dignity in the New Testament. When you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, we don't have time to go there, but you find out that God has blessed women and God is using women with high dignity. However, you have to know that submission is not obsolete. It's not total. It doesn't mean that you have to submit everything all the time under possible situations. No. When you read Acts chapter 5, verses 29, Dr. Luke writes and says that you have to make a choice sometimes. When Peter and other disciples were before the council warned them never to speak in the name of Christ Jesus. And Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than what? Rather than man. So there are incidences, situations, areas where your husband will ask you to do something. Something you cannot do in good conscience before God. Amen? You know that this one is not right before God. I'm serving God, not who? Man. So, submission under such circumstances is not obsolete. You have to say no. Maybe if you have a business, a family business, and you know nowadays taxes have what? Have gone high. Everything has what? Been increased. And your husband tell you, please, honey, let us hide some commodities or let us avoid paying tax on yourself. Husbands, we are born again Christians. We are to be faithful. We are serving God, not the government of Uganda. Hallelujah. I would also like to encourage and to say that submission should be in love. A Christian wife loves her husband, who sees him as a God-given gift to her, who sees him as her own possession, will easily regulate her conduct in harmony with this particular command. If you really love your husband and you own him, you love God, it will be easier for you to surrender to the will of God. You obey not as a desperate housewife, but as a devout housewife, as a devout Christian, who is able to encourage the leadership of your husband. Paul says, as is fitting in the Lord. Something between the wife and God. Not the wife and the husband. It's between you and who? And God. This is the way invented by God. The way God designed it. We cannot change it, please. This is God's truth. Then, if it is, wives, submit your own husbands. Amen? Verses 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Paul is encouraging us, me, the husband, to keep loving my wife. And say, stop being bitter. Stop being harsh towards her. Keep loving. It's a continuous love. It's a positive expression. Just imagine Jesus Christ keeping loving me and you. I don't know about you, but I know myself better. I'm a sinner. Saved by what? By God's grace. Each day I'm a failure, and each day I come to God and say, God, here I am. I failed again. But you know what? The Bible says he has loved me with an everlasting love, and by his grace he has drawn me closer to him. Hallelujah. Husbands, by the grace of God, draw your wife closer to you. Love her, and this love must be continuous. Simple command, keep loving. Keep on loving your wives as you love them before the marriage. You know, when you're still dating, you use these sweet loves. Anise, pie, what? You know, I love you. Without you, I cannot walk. I am a what and what. We have these funny words we use. And it says, Let not your love drain away during the marriage. Because if that love drains away during the marriage, the result is bitterness. He says, do not be bitter. Love them sacrificially, spiritually, sensitive. Be sensitive. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. When Christ loved me and you, he had to die for me. And 1 Peter will write, 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with all understanding. Understand her as Christ Jesus understands you. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. He knows what I can do and what I cannot do. Amen? And that's why he walks with me. That's why he gives me a hand and says, David, I know you very well. Come, my dear son. Come, my dear brother. Let us walk together. Let us go through this together. It's not by works. It's what? By his grace. Real spiritual leadership. Husbands, you are a spiritual leader in your home. Involves service. Just as Christ served the disciples, even the point of washing their feet. For the husband, is to serve his wife. This means putting aside his own interests in order to care for his wife. A wise and a Christ-honoring husband will not abuse his leadership role. Husbands have the responsibility of caring, cherishing, providing, encouraging, planning for the future, and seeing that the needs of the family are met. Husbands, love is not just a feeling, not emotions again. Love is an activity. It's an act of self-sacrifice. Love is not mere feelings, but facts. Not emotions again, but devotion. Not an attitude, but an action. Not statements, but sacrificial. Amen? We are to love. Paul added a special word of warning for the husbands. And do not be bitter against them. Do not be sharp. Don't use sharp words. Don't be harsh. Some men are good at fault finding. We find fault. You did this. Even yesterday, you don't do this. Don't do this. Stop doing that. We must be very, very careful as men, as husbands, not to have any ill feelings against our wives. Have no ill will towards them because of something they did or did not do. He says, a root of bitterness in our home can poison the marriage relationship, and that will give Satan a foothold. Do not give Satan any space in your marriage. Continue loving, caring, being forgiving, and always understand your wife. Paul says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31. Which means Christian husbands and wife must be open and honest with each other. Do not hide. Do not hide any feelings. Do not lie to one another. Speak the truth in love. When we speak in the truth in love, we will solve all family differences. Be open. Speak in love. We must speak the truth in love. Husbands who truly love their wives will not behave harshly or try to throw their wives around in the home. We have funny husbands. They want to make everyone know that they are husbands. Oh, don't you know I am the husband? You don't have to move around shouting you are the head of the family. No. Just imagine if Christ was moving around saying, I'm the head, I'm your savior. You damn, you used to do this. No. He loves you and he cares about you. He sees the beauty of God in you. I, the husband, have to seek the beauty of my wife. In the beginning, when God made man, he made him in his own image. And the reason why Jesus came, he came to seek the image of God in you and me. Husbands, if we don't love properly, our marriages can be bitter, painful. And I want to warn you, if you cannot respect your wife because she's prone to certain weaknesses, you will never be able to respect any other woman in this world. That's the truth. You cannot call her honey, sweet pie, sweetheart, and then at the same time act like vinegar. Okay, wow. A man must be willing to die. To die. To die to what he wants from a wife. Just as Jesus was willing to die because he desired to save me. So as a man, as a husband, I have to center, I have to focus on what God wants from me. God wants me his love, his care, forgiveness. Not to look at my woman, what I want from my woman, no. As a man, you have your role to play. A wife, your role to play. Each one of us has to be 100%. Play your role 100%, not 50%. Do not wait for your wife to play a role. And wife, do not wait for your husband to play what? His role. Each one of us has a role to play, and as you play it, be 100%. Someone said marriage is a long conversation. You cannot end talk about marriage. Therefore, you must marry a friend. And once again, I want to remind you, happy marriage does not come automatically. It's something we have to work for at all times. And as we work, we have to remember that it's by God's grace. Therefore, we have to walk with Jesus Christ in submission to him. And if we submit to Jesus Christ, we will have no problem submitting to one another and seeking to serve one another. We have to remember the power comes from God. Therefore, let us surrender our marriages to God. Then he says to children and parents, he says, children, obey your parents in all things. Paul writing this has in mind children who are still under their parents' houses. If you are a child, we have in Africa people who are 40 years old, you are still living under what? So sorry for you. So it says, writing to those who are still under their parents' household, under their authority, if you are still under your father's household, you must not only honor your father and mother, but must also obey them in all things pertaining to godliness. Amen? I don't care how old you are, as in Africa, people say, I'm still a son. And what? Somebody is 40 years old, is growing gray, and I'm still a son. When a child is grown and out of the parents' household, they are no longer under the same obligation of obedience, but the obligation to honor your father and mother. Now, children, you stop being a child biblically in terms of this word. When you go out to establish your own independence, your own family, to live your own life. But as long as you are in your parents' home, as long as you are under your parents' responsibility, as long as you are under their leadership and control, you have one command. Look at it again, verses 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Amen. It says this is one of the most important reasons for the children's obedience. When a child respects their parents, they are respecting God's order of authority in all other areas of life. A child who does not learn to obey his parents is not likely to grow up obeying any authority. He will defy his teachers, his employers, and anyone else who tries to exercise authority over him. I have a friend who cannot keep a job. I told him, why? You are my friend. And I found out this man doesn't listen to his bosses. He doesn't want to be advised. I told him, what man? You lack something. You don't know each and everything. And I've discovered that the problem began from where? From home. From home. The breakdown in authority today in our society reflects the breakdown of authority in the home. I can know your children, the way they behave, and I will know your marriage and your family. Because I know if you have a disobedient children, which means your wife is not submitting, you are not loving, you are not caring what? Man. You see, if all of us do our part, there will be harmony. There will be love. There will be unity. Amen? Again, I would like to add and say that this obedience is limited. It's limited to what which does not violate God's standards. Limited to that which doesn't step beyond God's leading and God's will. Children, think about a young man who has to say what Peter says. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. You judge whether we ought to obey God or men. I've had young people come to me and say, oh, my father wants me to do this and this. Oh, my father wants me to marry a Muslim. What should I do, Pastor? Well, my answer is, you cannot do what your father is telling you as long as it's not according to the will of what? Of God. Jesus says in Luke 14:26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brother, and sister, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he can't be what? My disciple. Jesus knew very well that sometimes a child, a young person, would come to Christ and it would have to be in a violation of his parents' authority. Amen? I had a young man come to me, you know, Pastor, I love Jesus, I honor Jesus, and I want to serve Jesus. But the reason why I'm not so available at church all the time, I am a Muslim and my father has got land, and if I said to him that I'm a Christian, I am going to lose my sonship. Oh, you're looking for the land. You can either choose to have an inheritance in Jesus Christ or choose to be buried in what? In your land and die forever and what? You make a choice. Either to marry a Muslim arch with a lot of money and lose the opportunity of seeing God's hand, God's miracles in your life, or you can choose to say, Jesus Christ is my inheritance. Amen? Therefore, the authority is limited to that which fits into the category allowable by God. Verse 21, he says, parents, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Parents have got authority over their children. But we are to learn not to misuse our authority. It's a great danger for a father who misuses his authority. A great danger when parents misuse their authority and become more autocratic than their wives. That will produce resentful children. We are to love, and this love is according to the will of God. Sometimes we provoke our children or we mishandle our children. I have a young girl who came to church in Nzega. She's called Mwombeja, princess. This young girl, she's about 5 years, six. She doesn't greet. And you ask her why. I'm a princess. We don't greet. I'm like, who deceived you? You are a princess. Some of you, you call your children kings. You pamper them. Some of you are so autocratic. These are some of the ways parents provoke their children. Overprotection. You overprotect the child. You don't trust the child at all, but on the loose. You never allow them any liberty. You draw the line so narrow and the box are so close that they will soon feel that you don't even believe in them. You don't trust them, no matter what they do to earn that trust. They never experience that trust. The result is they will give up and say, there's no difference anyway. Even when I trust my father, my mother, she will never believe in me. And she will become resentful. I found out in Ufeg also that kids were so resentful. Till I found out that parents were yelling at them, barking, beating, and this, they've just become what? Resentful. Then I told my team, you know what? We have a challenge. We are to love these children, to show them how to behave, to show them love. And it's only love that's going to change us and change these children. I want to let you know that children in Busega love church more than their homes. And one father has to come to me and say, my children talk about you more than they talk about me. Why? I say, man, who are you? I said, man, there's a problem in your home. They don't trust you. They don't love you. But they found love at what? At church. Some of us have favoritism. You know, we provoke our children by showing favoritism. You make sure, you know, you compare your children. Oh, I wish you were like Dennis. He's obedient, he's kind, and whatever I do it is. I said, okay, you love Dennis more than me, eh? My father doesn't love me. You know what? Love Dennis. And it will be a very big problem, what? Some of us never even appreciate their worthiness. Please, you have to appreciate your child. Some of us, whenever we have visitors, you know what we say? Children, back! Back door, what? So it says, oh man, I'm not worthy to be around people. No. Let your children know that they have to welcome visitors and enjoy what? Visitors. And you have to tell them to go out back door. Please be nice. Be loving and be kind. Parents say, learn not to provoke your children. Some of us do not even show any affection to them. No gentle talk, no hug. We don't provide for their needs. Man, I grew up in such a situation. I've never received any anger from my father. Oh, my father doesn't love me. And I grew up knowing my father hates me. And I grew up hating him. Till when I got to know Jesus Christ. I said, man, my father wasn't a Christian. He doesn't know what? This. I have to love him now. I have to show him how to love. And slowly by slowly, it has been 10 years now. I'm still loving. Sometimes, David, you are a young man. I cannot learn from you. But I will continue, and my goal is to show him the vision of Christ Jesus. Because no one sees Christ Jesus and remains standing. Amen? We all bow down and say, I am not worthy. You are the only worthy person. Hallelujah. Amen? Again, do not neglect your children. Please love them. Love them. Be there for them. Understand them. Don't be like King David. He let the young man Absalom live his way. And you know what happened? You know the story of Absalom. You know how he died. It was because of David. He was so negligent. Our children, our brothers, our sisters are perishing out there because of our parents. Because of we. employees, servants and employers. He says, employees, slaves, maids. He says, verses 21, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it utterly as to the Lord, not to men. Employees. He says, serve, work, not with eye service, going through the outward movement of the work. No, not as men pleasers, but he says, be sincere. Be sincere. Don't try to please men. No. Do serve, work, as you are serving God. Amen? You are serving God. You are serving God. As Christians, we must be the best employees, the best workers on job, serving with a single heart and a sincere heart, giving our full devotion to our masters. We work to please God and Him alone. We obey to please God, not to avoid punishment. Some of us, we work with eye service and we obey because they know that if I don't obey at the end of the month, my master will deduct a percentage. What? No. As you serve, this is your law as an employee somewhere there. This is your law, is to reflect God. Amen? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify God. You are the light of the world. Light is the most important thing of all creation. Because light exposes darkness. Amen? Light gives fertilizers to the plants. Without light, plants cannot grow. And you know light, you know what it does. It's the most of it. The most important thing. So I and you are the light of this world. As you work, as you serve your master, please do it as well, working for God. You are the salt of this world. You know what salt does? You know it? It's a preservative. Salt is a medicine. Here in Africa, if you cook chicken in Luombo, plus all other spices without salt, the food was good, but no what? Our food, everyone would taste it and, oh man, it's good, no what? I went to some Chinese friend and they gave me fish with sugar and I said, oh man, what is this? So salt is what? That's who you are. We have to preserve our communities, preserve our families. We have to work as we are serving God. That is your law. Do it 100%. Do not wait for your masters. Oh, the boss doesn't pay me, doesn't appreciate. No, God does what? And God says, verses 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will reward you. Therefore, be faithful. Be sincere, be transparent, and work hard. Work hard that God will approve you, faithful and worthy what? Servant. Amen? The man whom God uses is a man who knows how to work. It was when Moses was tending his father's nine sheep that God appeared to him in a burning bush. It was when Elisha was plowing with the loaf of oxen that Elijah cast the mantle of ministry upon him. 1 Kings 19:19. It was when Peter and Andrew were casting their nets that Jesus called them to be fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. It was when Paul was laboring for the high priest on his road to Damascus that Jesus appeared to him and turned his life around and made him Paul, the little Paul, the servant of our most God. Amen? You see, men, God doesn't use idolers. Therefore, be faithful. Love God, serve God, honor God. Masters, verses 1 of chapter 4. Give your bond servant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Seven times, everything is done in the sight of who? God. Wives submit in the Lord. Children obey in the Lord. Servant fear in the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. Your reward is what? In the Lord. The Lord Christ Jesus. Masters are reminded they have a master in what? If you are boss here, you are reminded you have a boss in what? In heaven. Seven times, employees, Jesus says, show me you know how to take directions from someone else. Show me you are humble by taking orders and carrying them out. Show me you are not so small as only to be able to take directions from somebody older or wiser and higher in love than yourself. No. Did you know that it's completely embarrassing? Jesus explained to the angels what you are doing when you only work for men to see you. Do you imagine in heaven, Jesus said, look at my servant. He's only working for men, not for me. Do you imagine the angels looking at you instead of praising God? Man, he's embarrassing us. He's embarrassing his call. Jesus says, if you don't love your boss, how can you say you love me? And boss, if you don't love your employees, how can you say you love God? Employers, Paul says, do the right thing. Be just and fair with every employee. If they are not performing well, please deal with them, not by talking about it with others, or ignoring it, or by being bitter toward them. No, do it in love. Did you know that Jesus desires to use me, to use you as a boss, and to use your company in teaching them how to serve, how to obey, how to follow, so that they will know how to do it spiritually with him? That they'll also be able to go and emulate when they leave. You know, I was here serving as a cleaner some years ago. Now, I was equipped, trained. Now I went out and I am emulating what I learned here. How to love my people. How to show them how to work. I don't back at them. I train them and I want them to. And I don't know how long I've been in Sega because I know God has sent there for a purpose and one day I have to what? To move on. In Africa, do we equip men and train men that they will go and start their own companies and emulate us, our good character? You have a call to disciple, to train. That when you leave the company, they will never miss you. I'm glad they don't miss me here. I'm very, very, very much glad. I'm not what? Jesus said, your business is simply a practical application to their lives. How you treat your employees is how I'll treat you, Jesus says. Love them, show them a servant leadership. You know? So you have had wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves, masters. Let each one of us, as you've got your law, play his law and play it 100%. Not half-heartedly, but with a sincere heart, doing everything in the sight of God our Savior. Do not wait for somebody to tell you what to do or to do your part. Do your part 100%. Lastly, Paul writing to Philippians, he says, 2:12, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He says, exercise your salvation. Exercise it with fear and strengthen it with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. What God is working in your heart, what God has called you to do, whatever you are doing, that is your call, and do it with fear and trembling. Fearing God, honoring God, and knowing that God is going to reward us. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We glorify and magnify your name. It is all about you, not about us. Enable us, as each one of us has got his role, to play our role and play it 100% with a sincere heart, Lord. Enable wives to submit to their husbands, husbands to love and to continue loving. Love always, love always. Children to obey, and parents not to provoke their children. Slaves, Lord, to be obedient, to be loving, to be kind, and masters, Lord, to trust you, to look at you, knowing that, Father, we have a master in heaven. Lord, I love you, I honor you, I worship you. Be glorified, be magnified. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I do pray. May God bless you.